Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We have been celebrating one thing here all week, and you know, I've told all the Super Bowl 35 guys, I'm like, you know, every other 3 years, because of the other things that happened back here a few years ago, we're going to be putting together more of these. One day Harbaugh will have one on both sides of us. Luke Jones isn't working a lot this week. Luke, I'm going to let you, you know, lament the loss of Tampa and palm trees and Radio Row and all that. But at least we have some Super Bowl champions to get you off the shovel and out of the backyard up there in Pennsylvania with the snowstorm for one of your all-time favorites in this one.
Yeah, it's appropriate. We're talking to a St. Paul native. I was just outside shoveling the snow that we've gotten over the last couple of days. But one of my favorites, I joined the Ravens beat full time in 2011. And this was a wily veteran who'd been through a lot and always was generous with his time. And, you know, doing early morning radio, was always willing to go on at 6:30 in the morning. So Matt Burke, you immediately became one of my favorites. And it's always good to catch up with you. And I'm really glad the last time we talked, Nestor was actually in his hotel sick with food poisoning in Minneapolis a few years ago. So it's good to have him with us, Matt.
It was 10 below when I was sick as a dog. You know how that is in your hometown, right?
Hey, Minneapolis, St. Paul is not for the faint of heart now. This is a tough guy town over here.
We went to that corner burger place, you know, where they put the cheese in, you know, I mean, it was a couple years ago. How are you? I mean, you're still thin and fit and raising children and freezing up there in the woods and coming on to promote some stuff. But it's a Super Bowl week. This has just been a weird time, right? I mean, you'll probably be in Tampa to get out of this for a couple of days, right?
Yeah. You know, a couple of charities I'm still involved with. Gridiron Greats being one of them. We always have a great cigar party at the Super Bowl and not able to do that this year. And yeah, it's unfortunate. Yeah, I mean, I think we're kind of used to just being disappointed, right, these last 10 or 11 months. And so maybe that makes it a little bit more palatable. But, you know, nonetheless, hey, we've got a great matchup for the Super Bowl. And, you know, I'd be lying if I said this isn't always a good week just because I get to reminisce about what happened 8 years ago now, which is kind of crazy to think about.
Well, I brought some of the other champions back. I mean, like Otis Anderson came on, Super Bowl MVPs, all the people we usually see and the people in the yellow jackets walking around and doing all that. This is a little distant and weird, but it's been a great time for nostalgia and thinking about 20 years for the original team here. And the things that rub up against you, like Brian Billick and Ray Lewis and different things. And then there's Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. I mean, I'm a little sick of these Super Bowls and talking about him, but we're now at the point where this is a marvel, is it not, Matt?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think if you kind of think about the Bucs this year and Tom Brady, you know, I mean, Tom is a great player, obviously. Tom is not as physically gifted as Patrick Mahomes. He's not as he's never been as physically gifted as an Aaron Rodgers or a Russell Wilson. And so I think it's really a testament to Tom being fundamentally sound in everything he does. He's always super prepared for every game he goes into, makes very few mistakes, and then just kind of has the knack of when it's time to make a big play, or somebody, if you make a mistake against him, like a la last play of the first half against Green Bay, he's going to make you pay, you know? And so I think just looking at it from an athlete's perspective, and, you know, I've kind of grew to hate Tom Brady, right, as a player. I mean, we were always playing New England twice a year when I was in Baltimore. But you have to respect that. It's kind of good to see. It's not the biggest, strongest, you know, he's not the LeBron James of the NFL. You know what I mean? I mean, he does it by just working his tail off and knowing the game plan, and he just keeps plugging. And yeah, here we are 20 years later and Tom Brady's still showing up in Super Bowls.
Man, Luke and I got to know another big redheaded fellow who snapped footballs around here to Joe Flacco. And Ryan Jensen went off. And, you know, he's a guy, I don't know, I stay in touch with the offensive lineman. And, you know, Mike Flynn sent me the video from Super Bowl 2000, the float and the parade. So I don't know, it's linemen, but to get a chance to snap the top, I mean, look, you play with some great guys. You won championships, right? Going back to Randall Cunningham and all that. Is there a point where you would have liked to have played with him and a Montana and some of the other greats to see how they do it, or maybe they do it the same way everybody else does it?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I've never thought about it that way. I'm pretty fortunate because I did get to play for a long time with some great guys and got to win a Super Bowl. And got to play with the quarterback who had the greatest postseason in the history of the NFL. So that's pretty good. But yeah, I mean, you know, I've played like a Ray Lewis or an Ed Reed or a Chris Carter or Randy Moss or Adrian Peterson. Just seeing those guys who are the best of the best at what they do. And the one common thread, are they all very talented? Yes. But they don't get by on talent. You know, made those guys great was how they practiced, how they knew game plans inside and out, and they practiced so hard. And I think I'm sure that's what a Tom Brady or Peyton Manning, those guys, I'm sure that's how they go about it. And that's what I always try to tell, especially kids when I talk to them, talk to youth football teams or anything. It's like, you know, talent's one thing, that's God given, but how good you are, how you perform, that's a reflection of your character. That's man gotten, as I say. And, so the effort that you put in practice, it definitely matters.
Matt, you mentioned you had a long career. I mean, you played 15 years in the league, which is an extraordinary accomplishment. But how crazy it is to think, I mean, Tom Brady came in the league 2 years after you did. You've been retired now for a number of years. I talked about this with Nestor the day after the NFC Championship game. It dawned on me, Tom Brady started playing before Ed Reed. Ed Reed had an entire Hall of Fame career, was inducted in Canton, and Tom Brady's still going. I mean, just for someone who played in the league as long as you did, and I know the rigors of playing quarterback doesn't quite stack up to being in the trenches like an offensive lineman, but how amazed are you by the fact that he's still doing this at the level at which he's doing it two plus decades into it?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's nothing short of amazing. Again, it speaks to the effort that he puts into the process. I mean, part of being a pro is taking care of your body and your off-season training, and we all know that it's been chronicled. He's maniacal about that. And the other thing he's benefited from, and not to take anything away from it, but probably the most underrated thing of that run in New England. I mean, to call it a run sounds ridiculous. A run is like short term, you know, the dynasty or the marathon that was the New England Patriots was they had a really, really good offensive line. I mean, for all those years, you know, Dante Scarnecchia, who probably go down as the greatest old line coach in the history of the NFL. Tom has benefited from great protection his entire career and has not taken a lot of those big hits. And Tom's smart too. You know, he'll go down in the fetal position on third down and live to fight another day. You know, he'll throw it away and punt it. Punt is an offensive play. He understands that. So everything about it, just, you know, you just got to tip your cap to him. He's kind of, it's almost like, he's playing chess when everybody else is playing checkers as far as how he approaches his training, his preparation for games, and his off season.
You know, Matt, at one point, Marvin Lewis, I think the second or third time he was about to get fired around here, we joked about it last week. He would say to me, you know, we get smarter. We're coaches. Like, we get smarter, you know, and I would think that you think you've gotten smarter being a Harvard guy and having played in different places and experienced life differently now, even as your kids probably teach you things. To be 43 and to be maybe one of the smartest guys to ever play the position to begin with, right? Like, he was smart when you were trying to beat him 10, 15 years ago. How smart he could be at 43, how much experience, the most experienced guy to ever play that position in every big game ever. It's kind of hard to bet against him this week, but then there's the other kid. And I want to bring you into Super Squares and supersquares.com to talk a little bit about this platform. But more than that, this is a fascinating look at old and young and the LeBron and the Michael Jordan. This game has it all except like us being there.
Yeah, no, it does. I mean, yeah, I don't think you're going to fool Tom Brady. If you do, you might fool him once or twice, you know, with a look. And that was a good, when we beat Tom Brady and the Patriots in Foxborough in the playoffs those couple times, I remember Dean Pease, when he was putting the game plan in, don't show anything. You know, normally when defenses are blitzing, you cheat up a step or two. And guys like Tom Brady see that. Literally, they'll see you cheated in one step. Dean said, make it all look the same. If you're a split second late getting there, because you can't cheat, that's fine. And that's how we were able to confuse him. You're not going to fool him. You're probably going to fool Pat Mahomes a little bit just because he doesn't have 20 years of playing experience. But guess what? Pat Mahomes has probably been just going to start looking like he's running around on the playground, and you know, he'll run left and he'll probably throw it across his body right 50 yards on a rope across the field. I mean, you said it. This is so fascinating of a matchup, and then sprinkle in there that you're playing in Tampa's home stadium, the first time that's ever happened. I kind of feel like after everything we've been through in sports in the pandemic, this is the Super Bowl that we deserved. And it is kind of fitting that we're not going to be there, right? It's going to be a world record for the fewest fans ever to attend a Super Bowl. So that sounds about right.
Well, we had our opportunities. The staying home part of this, Matt, I went to games in Houston. Luke went to all the home games. Luke sat in we were only given one seat as an organization because they're trying to cut down on people, obviously. So I didn't go to any of the home games. There was just something really strange. Did you experience any, I mean, you're up in Minnesota, were anybody playing? Have you been out, done anything, seen like real football anywhere?
No, not at all. No fans in the Viking Stadium this year. And I mean, even on TV, it just looks weird. It feels weird. It sounds weird. I guess you get used to it a little bit, but not completely. And I think maybe the one thing that we've learned with sports is that, you know, fans really are the lifeblood of live sporting events. And there has been something missing. I know players have said it's just been odd this year. So maybe when things all get back to normal, that there's a little bit greater appreciation for the fans. And that's really what I'm about. That's what I'm working on with Super Squares, because, you know, now that I'm a fan, I started as a fan, fortunate to play professionally, but now I'm a fan again. And I think, you know, sometimes fans get forgotten or kind of taken for granted in the world of professional sports.
Well, tell me about Super Squares here, because I want to promote this for you. It's great that you stop by and visit. I hope you come back 3 years from now. I hope that we can gather, right? Like part of all of this, the 35 guys, you know, I had Coach on, they did a Zoom, you know, on the night, and they all had wine and cigars and whatnot, but it's not the same. And I know you want to reach out and touch your guys, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you talked about getting back together with guys you won the Super Bowl with. Yeah, Zoom ain't cutting that now. I mean, you got to hug each other and slap each other on the back. And, you know, I'm sure later on in the night, there'd probably be two guys will probably want to square up and, you know, wrestle. I mean, that's just, you guys have been around professional football players for a long time. We're just big kids, right? I mean, we revert back to that when we get around our former teammates. That's the fun of it.
Luke and I haven't been in a room with a football player in a year, right, Luke?
It's strange. It really is. And while we're talking about this, Matt, it's one thing I came across over the summer. You were part of a group that put together actually kind of a template for a modified schedule trying to play an NFL season or just any at any level, a football season in the midst of a pandemic. Obviously, the league proceeded with a schedule as normal as possible. And I think many people surprised at how successful it was. But when you look at it from a perspective of someone who put some thought into what it might take to complete a season, what did you like about it? What would you have done differently? And you know, just your overall thoughts on how the 2020 season went.
Well, I think you have to look back, and it was phenomenal considering they got in all 256 regular season games. And, you know, there were a few adjustments that had to be made, but you know, I mean, you know, during the pandemic, and especially after we saw what happened to Major League Baseball and the NBA and the NHL, that, you know, fans are going to give you a little grace and understand that it's not always going to be perfect and fit into a nice box. So you give the NFL credit there. I know they were so vigilant about testing and contact tracing and all those things. I would still say, though, the proposal that we put forward, there was one factor that the NFL would have benefited from. And this was our proposal to kind of make it very brief was it was less games. There was more space between each game, but it was still enough games to feel like a real season. The NFL lost money. The owners lost money on every home game this year because there were no fans. So you had to pay players for 16 games. But every time you had a home game, you were losing millions of dollars. So if you could have decreased the number of home games and still gotten in a full season, you would have cut your losses, so to speak. But I mean, that's going to be a discussion for this off season when they have to renegotiate the salary cap because the pie wasn't as big as players and owners had anticipated.
Matt, I think we lost your video there. Matt Burke joining us here. Super Bowl champion. That's 47. Even though I've been saying 35 a lot, we're getting into 55 now. That means eight. That means a couple years from now, we're going to have a reunion around here of great magnitude. Matt's here promoting Super Squares. There's a new way to play squares that began sweeping the nation this year. Everybody's stuck at home. My wife's playing games. She's going to find out about this. Combine squares and predictions. It's called Super Squares. It's changing the face of mobile sports apps. You download it, Super Squares, and play against your friends, your family, your coworkers. You create a skybox, share your passcode with them, and play along. Matt is there. All your kids are involved in this, right? I mean, it's a family feud probably thing, right?
Well, you got to be 21 or older to play Super Squares. Because we're giving out some huge prizes, $2.4 million in prizes up for grabs on Super Bowl Sunday. But now we know this time of year, right? And again, this is the fan in me. This time of year, everybody plays a squares game at their Super Bowl parties. It's nostalgic. It's tradition. But that game is really not that fun. You go to the party, you throw in your money, you know, it's gambling. And then if you're like me, you get like a 5 and a 9. So you know you're not going to win.
Stuff. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah,
it never works out. And once the game starts, it's done. Super Squares, what we created, I think it's really cool. We've got our squares. We have dynamic squares. So you get a super square at the beginning of the game, which is 4 number combinations, not one. You're always guaranteed at least one good number, by the way. And then each quarter, you get a new super square, meaning 4 new sets of numbers. So you get 16 number combinations throughout the game. If you get one number right, you get partial credit.
See, I knew the math was going to come in here. I knew he was going to Harvard this all up for me.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'm trying to keep it. Yeah, I'm trying to keep it at your level.
I knew you were going to go powers and squares and bring variables in.
I think you'll appreciate this. I mean, a blindfolded monkey has as good a chance of winning football squares as I do because it doesn't take any skill. We have a predictions element, meaning that you make 3 predictions about the game. And you're graded on a curve. The closer your predictions are, the more points you get. So it's a blend of skill and luck, and it's free. It's a ton of fun. And like I said, the prizes are huge. $2 million for a perfect game. And then Super Bowl Sunday, we're going to give away at least one Rivian electric adventure vehicle, maybe two, which is like those things aren't even on the street yet. And it's just a way for fans to get involved, to be kind of active participants during the game, you know, give you something to do other than watch the game. And if all else fails, Nestor and Luke and you and all your listeners, don't win anything. We have lots of winners. If you don't win anything on Super Bowl Sunday, worst case scenario is you're going to help set a Guinness World Record. We are going to try to set a Guinness World Record for most players in a football squares game in the history of the world. And when we do that, your name, you will be immortalized in the Guinness Book of World Records.
So well, I love Guinness. That? There's no doubt about that. Everybody knows that. I mean, they got the factory.
Different Guinness.
You know, I was going to say, I got some Irish. Matt Burke is here. We're having some fun. You know, I don't think we hit you back when Marshall retired. I don't think, Luke, we didn't speak to him about that, did we?
I was just going to say, I mean, how quickly did Marshall hit you up on how to lose 60 pounds in what? A week. I mean, everyone thought of you when we saw Marshall Yanda just a couple months after his retirement. His actual retirement press conference was in mid-March, and at that point, I believe he had already shed 50 pounds, and everyone knew at that point, well, I guess he's not coming back.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was Marshall was, he's such a focused guy. I mean, you know, he's so intense, right? So, he, like me, had to work pretty hard to keep his weight up. And so I always say you probably give guys like us too much credit for losing weight when we're done. You know, we weren't built like a Brian McKinney, you know, or somebody like that who's always going to be 300 pounds. So it wasn't quite that hard to lose the weight. But I know I talked to Marshall and he was like, man, you know, you're big for so long. You just can't wait to start working and getting it off. And of course, he just attacked it like he does everything. And I kind of thought it was funny because Marshall's like the biggest, strongest, toughest guy I know. And to see him all slim down, he doesn't look so tough. I'm sure he still is. Like, I'm not going to challenge him to anything, but I was making fun because he shaved. He kind of got the baby face. You know, I was like, man, you look like just like a little boy. You know, you're probably going to get picked on now back in Iowa.
Well, you know, it's kind of like a courtroom as the media in that auditorium for the retirement, because there aren't a whole lot of them in that way that are so grand. And we think Marshall's going probably someplace very special in Ohio, and you can debate that further if you wish. But we watched people come in, and teammates came back. Joe Flacco. So it was just sort of like a who's who of everybody walking in. And then we're like, what happened to Marshall? You know, half of Marshall's gone. It's been like 60 days, man. Like, how was that even possible? You know, I would think for you, and I kid you about the kids and all this stuff, 8 years removed from all this, or 7 years, however long it's been since you left, and the weight and your job with the NFL and all the other things. How are you? What's going on with your – give us a little, like, Matt update. You know, we like you around here.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, first and foremost – still married, thank God, and 8 kids, ranging from 18 to 4. So,
well, you're 18
you know,
years old, almost as old enough to play now. All right, I wasn't wrong. Some of your kids are almost old enough. All right.
Well, yeah. So she's. I mean, yeah, we're going to be in the parenting game a long time. So that's all good. That's the primary focus, and then involved in some really neat side projects and charities and, life is good. I've had a full-time job since I was 12 years old, so I'm not going to sit around. I don't play golf. Yeah. I play twice a year. I don't fish if I fish now, it's like, 'cause I'm taking my kids out. I mean, I just like being busy, being active, doing stuff, you know, like everybody, try to do good stuff, you know, try to do your part in the community. And, to me, that's the American dream. And I would go back, you know, I've been to the Hall of Fame induction ceremony one time. It was the year Brett Favre got inducted. But what really kind of stood out from that was Kevin Green, who unfortunately passed away this year unexpectedly and tragically. He gave one of the greatest speeches I had ever heard in his induction speech. And at the end, he said, maybe at the end of the day, all an ex-ball player can hope for is, you know, be with his wife and be healthy enough to run around with his kids and throw the ball in the front yard. And I remember when he said that, I thought, yeah, that's about it. I mean, if you play in the NFL, you're so dang lucky to be able to have done something like that. And I look at myself, you know, the fat, weak, slow kid from St. Paul, Minnesota, who got a chance to play for 15 years in the NFL, play 11 years for my hometown team, win a Super Bowl. Man, I shouldn't have any bad days, and I'm healthy enough to run around with my kids and do that. So I just, that's what I do. Try to keep life as simple as possible and live it to its fullest and, you know, be grateful for everything that I was able to experience and everything that I have today.
Luke, take him out of here. And you got one last question for him. You have to.
Well, we mentioned Marshall. Matt, it's been 12 years now. It's crazy. Or not 12 years, 8 years, sorry. 2012 until now, that magical night in New Orleans. How many of your former teammates from Baltimore that you keep in touch all these years later?
You know, we keep in touch. I mean, just a handful. But the great thing about playing football is I could not talk to a guy or see him for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. And then you see him and it's just like old times. There's no warm up period needed. There's no awkwardness. And that speaks to the bond. And it's cliche, but I'll say it. You know, I only miss two things about playing football. A little bit on the 1st and the 15th of the month. I miss it a little bit. those paychecks were
not
nice.
Bad.
I'm not going to lie to you. It's hard to make that kind of money in the real world. There's a real job. So that's ridiculous. But you miss the guys. You miss just joking around in the locker room, road trips, being in the locker room after a big win or something crazy happens. And that bond transcends time, transcends space. It's always good to reconnect with guys, no matter how frequent or infrequent it is. I mean, I keep in touch with Marshall a little bit. Michael Orr, you know, he's one of my favorite guys ever. Check in on Mike. And it's just, man, that's, I know it's not everybody has the opportunity to work somewhere where you can form those bonds. I worked in the NFL league office for 2 years, and most of those people, they just go to work and go home and they don't get to experience that. So, that's the best thing about playing football. And you know, we get together in a couple years to have the anniversary of the Super Bowl win, you know, we'll all be older. Most of the guys will be fat and, walk with limps, but we're going to have a lot of laughs. And, like I said, not a lot of people get that opportunity.
We get that chance to celebrate every couple of years here in Baltimore. We're very appreciative of your time here, and you were visiting us even before you were with the Ravens, and we appreciate you coming on to promote Super Squares, and have some fun with your kids up there. I mean, we're all complaining about how cold we got our first snow here. All you need to do is spend a little bit of time up in the friendly heart of Minnesota up there, and I know you're waiting for the thaw as well.
Bro, we've had a real mild winter. It's not like the year you were here for the Super Bowl, but I just checked, and on Saturday, it's supposed to get down to minus 18, which even by Minnesota standards, that's a little nippy.
That is not Minnesota nice. Nippy. That is Minnesota cruel. Matt, we appreciate you, man. Take care of yourself. We're sending everybody out to Super Squares. Download the app. Matt Burke, Super Bowl champion. Always great to visit with you, man. Be safe. Take care of yourself, okay?
Thanks, Matt.
Appreciate it, guys. Great to see you.
Matt Burke joining us here. It is it's a virtual radio row with Luke, so there's no free beer at 5 o'clock in the media commissary. You're really bummed about that, right?
I hadn't even thought about that until just now. You just ruined it. I'm gonna have to go.
He said Guinness, and I just said beer, and I, you know, we got.
You know, I actually have a Guinness in my fridge right now, so that'll.
Well,
work.
Maybe in 10 minutes you won't anymore. How about that?
It's a good idea.
Luke and I are going to try to get together a little bit more frequently as we get out of football season. You can certainly find us at Baltimore Positive. You can find Luke at Baltimore Luke. We are virtually doing Radio Row. It's not the same, but they'll be in LA next year, so we'll have twice as much fun, and there'll be palm trees and sand and hopefully no masks. And get the shot, stay safe, wear your mask, stay 6 feet apart. We'll get back together and do it again soon. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, bringing champions from Super Bowl 35 and 47 all together because it's Super Bowl week and we deserve to celebrate.